we're going to look to the Lord and His Word as well. We're in the midst of a series of messages on prayer entitled Draw the Circle. And the idea of drawing the circle is that we put a circle around the need in our life, the burden of our heart, the challenge that we face, and then we circle it with the promises and the character of God, that we might pray that God's word that never fails would be demonstrated in answer to our prayer concerning the things in our life. So draw the circle, 40-day prayer challenge. Today we're looking at what it is to sow a seed, and it's a great question to ask on Senior Sunday, and I almost got up this morning because I have my ARP card, and I thought when they said seniors, I thought, oh, I can stand up now. I've resisted receiving one of those cards for about 7 years because they started putting them in my box when I was 54, and I was like, no way. That's for old people, like my dad. So, but we're talking about seniors who aren't even seniors yet. They're seniors in high school, and that's a great thing. We celebrate your accomplishment. The question that we should ask at any point in our life, but especially when we're young, is what am I going to plant? What am I going to plant? It's planting season. It's been kind of hard for farmers to get into the fields and plant. It's been a little wet. But many people who love to garden have started looking in January at seed catalogs online, and they have seedlings growing under grow lights in their homes because they know what they're going to plant. They're going to plant tomatoes. They're going to plant habaneros. They're going to plant whatever, any number of things. And the question for us today is, what are you going to plant? Because you reap what you sow. Hear the word of God from Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. The scripture reads, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from their spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Really, you could translate the verse back in verse 7. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what he sows or she sows. It's speaking to men in a generic sense of humankind. Any human person reaps what they sow. It's a principle of nature. If I go out and I sow peas, I'm going to reap what? Peas. If I sow beets, I'm going to reap beets, unless the rabbits eat them first. Sometimes the rabbits reap what I sow. But we reap what we sow. We don't put beans in because they're cheaper and then expect to get, you know, heirloom tomatoes. Because genetically, that's not feasible. Plant beans, you reap beans. Question for us today is, what are you sowing and what are you reaping? Because what you sow, you will reap. Are you sowing and reaping the fruit of your desires? One of the things that we can sow is desires. We plant desires and we reap the fruit of our desires. You are sowing and reaping in the course of your life the fruit of your desires. You see, desires have an end. Desires have an outcome. And we should be asking the question, if I focus on satisfying this desire, what will be the fruit of it? What will be the fruit of it? It is observed that we cannot sow bad habits and reap good character. We can't sow hatred and reap love. We can't sow jealousy and reap trust. We can't sow lust-filled thoughts and reap a pure mind. We can't sow greed and reap generosity. We can't sow cruelty and reap kindness. We can't sow indulgence and reap self-control. We can't sow to our addictions and reap sobriety. We can't sow the neglect of reading God's word and reap knowing his will. We can't sow neglect of prayer and reap wisdom from God. We can't sow neglect of the body of Christ and reap a brother or sister in a time of need. We reap what we sow. And so the author of the scriptures, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, says to them by a word of command, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh will from their flesh reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And so we want to sow in a way that pleases the Spirit. We want to sow desires that are pleasing to God so that we can reap fruit that lasts forever, eternal life. What are you sowing? You are sowing desires. It's not an if question there. You are sowing desires. The question is, what kind of desires are you sowing? Because you will reap a harvest based on the desires you sow. And our desires have an outcome. They have a result. There is a fruit. Secondly, you are sowing and reaping the fruit of your deeds. You're sowing and reaping the fruit of your deeds. The scripture says in Galatians 6, what we just read at verse 7, let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. There's something that we should learn from our gardening experiences or from the agrarian culture in which we live here in the Midwest, and that is that we might plant today, but we don't reap tomorrow. There is a time of waiting. There is a time of waiting. Harvest comes at its proper time. Harvest comes at its proper time. So we're not to grow weary in doing good. We keep on planting. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. A story from my own gardening experiences. I'm the son of a dairy farmer in upstate New York who went away to Bible college and became a pastor. So I grew really up. I grew up as a preacher's kid, who had whose father was both pastor and farmer. So we had an acre garden that we planted every year. It kept us off the streets. Where are the Aubrey kids? Oh, they're out planting, weeding, whatever. So in my first church in Colorado, I'm in the rural, on the high plains of Colorado, up in the corner near Nebraska. And there's a person in my church who has works for the State Division of Wildlife, and on the property in which he lives, there's a garden spot that has not been utilized in a decade. It's fertile. Actually, it was a barnyard, which was really well fertilized. And so I went and I planted a garden there, and I planted a lot of green beans. And then in June, I went on vacation, and when I came back, everything grew in that nitrogen-rich soil, and I couldn't see the beans from the weeds. So you can't become weary in doing good. You have to keep on doing good and waiting for the proper time, and you can't neglect your prayers about what you planted. I had to get on my hands and knees and weed. And then the beans grew, and we had a harvest at the proper time. I didn't plant peas because as a kid, I didn't like to pick peas and then shuck peas, and then I couldn't tolerate eating peas. So I didn't plant peas, but I planted beans. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. But you and I are sowing and reaping the fruit of our deeds, good or bad. Let me give you the negative example from Scripture. Jacob in Genesis 25 and Genesis 27 is the second born of a set of twins. His brother Esau deserves the birthright and the blessing of the firstborn. But Jacob deceives his father and steals his brother's birthright and blessing. He sowed. He sowed in deceitful deeds. He ran because he didn't want to be killed by his brother who lost his birthright. And he went away to the family area where they grew up and lived with Uncle Laban. Well, Uncle Laban had a beautiful daughter, Rachel, his second born. And so Jacob contracted with Uncle Laban to work 7 years in order to have the hand of Rachel in marriage. And so he did. He worked 7 years. And on their wedding day, he was married, but he was deceived by his father-in-law. Because he worked 7 years thinking he was marrying Rachel, but he woke up the next morning married to Leah, the older sister. He reaped what he sowed. He sowed in deceit, he reaped deceit. This is a biblical principle. We are sowing and reaping the fruit of our deeds. What will we sow? And the Apostle Paul, writing under the authority of the Holy Spirit, directs us to sow good deeds. We have the opportunity. So let us do good to all people, and especially to those who belong to the family of God. In Matthew 5 at verse 16, this is the reason. This is the fruit of sowing good deeds. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. as a pastor and ministry family, we had, we still have a son, Ryan, who has cystic fibrosis. But when he was young, because he had a feeding tube from his first months of life all the way through, he had some missing skills, like swallowing was one of them. And so we were referred to Dr. Cohen, a pediatric behavioral psychiatrist, to help coach Ryan and Ryan's parents on helping Ryan to develop delayed skills because of the knife feedings. I can remember vividly one time when we were ushered into Dr. Cohen's office and he's reviewing everything. And one of the things that we were to do was to play a cassette tape for Ryan every night before he went to bed. A cassette tape about 10 minutes long, and Ryan would listen to Dr. Cohen talk to him about what he faced that night and the next day. And so he asked us, the parents, did you do the things I asked? And the meter answer was yes, but the truth was, have you ever done that? You're before someone in authority and you don't want to embarrass yourself, so you say yes when you should have said no? Later, under conviction, we returned to Dr. Cohen's office and we said, you know, Dr. Cohen, you asked us, did we do the things you had asked us to do? And the truth is, no, we didn't. We said yes, but the truth is, no, we didn't. And he says, I know. It's kind of like the piano teacher. She asks you, did you practice? And you say, yes. 15 minutes a day, you say, yes. And she says, there's no evidence. We were ashamed of telling this Jewish pediatric psychiatrist that this Christian pastor and his wife didn't do what he asked us to do, and furthermore, we lied about it. And then he said this to us, I am lied to all the time by patients and parents. But I have never had one return and confess it and acknowledge the truth. You're the first. And so I'm thinking, wow, our misbehavior God redeems because our confession spoke of our integrity. That we couldn't live with having told a lie. So we let our light shine before others, trusting that what we did that was right, albeit a little late, would be used of God to glorify our Father in heaven. We are sowing and reaping the fruit of our deeds. That's a given. Question is, what are you sowing? And Paul calls us to sow good deeds because in due season, if we don't give up, we'll reap a harvest. What are you sowing? Are you sowing to your desires? Are you sowing to your deeds? You'll reap according to your desires and your deeds. You are also sowing and reaping the fruit of your questions. You're sowing and reaping the fruit of your questions. Some of us have questions. That's okay. The psalmist had questions. How long, O God? Why, O Lord? What I've observed is that when we sow questions about God's goodness and so questions about his power that we tend to reap doubt and despair because we can't get past questioning his goodness and questioning his power. And so we then continue to reap doubt and despair. When what God invites us to do is to trust in his goodness and trust in his sovereign power and instead reap peace and reap strength to endure. We sow and reap the fruit of our questions. All the more powerful when we sow great questions, God-sized questions about the mysteries of creation and reap divine wisdom and insight. Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 2, and these are words for his son, but they're words for all of us. He says, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So notice that it begins with a question, and the question is sown in prayer. You call out for insight, and you cry aloud for understanding. You have this major question, and you're coming to God, a God-sized question. You come to him for insight and for understanding, and then we get off our knees, and we begin to investigate and look for and search for the answer to the question, and the fruit is that God gives us understanding. He gives us knowledge. He gives us wisdom. I want to give you this example. It comes from the book that we're reading, Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson. And on day 8, we're all well past day 8. Today is day 19. But on day 8, he wrote this of George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver routinely got up at 4 a.m. and walked through the woods and asked God to reveal the mysteries of nature. Job 12, 7 and 8 was one of his most circled promises in the Bible. And Job 12 says, ask the animals and they will teach you. Ask the birds in the sky and they will tell you. Speak to the earth and it will teach you. Let the fish of the sea inform you. And George Washington Carver took that promise at face value. He literally asked God to reveal the mysteries of nature to him as a scientist. And God answered his prayer. One of Carver's most notable discoveries was the discovery of 300 uses for the peanut. Isn't that amazing? Every time you open a jar of peanut butter, you should thank George Washington Carver for his prayer. Unless you have peanut intolerance, and then you might have a different thought about it. But this is what Carver says, the story behind the story. Carver says, I asked God, why did you make the universe, Lord? And the Lord said, ask for something more in proportion to the little mind of yours. Well, why did you make the earth, Lord, I asked. And the Lord replied, well, your mind is still a little too small for that. You want to know far too much. Ask for something more in proportion to the little mind of yours, replied God. Why did you make man, Lord, I asked. And the Lord said, far too much. Far too much. Ask again. Explain to me why you made plants, Lord, I asked. And he says, your little mind still wants to know far too much. And so I said, what about the peanut? Yes, yes, that's good. I will grant you the mystery of the peanut. Take the peanut into your laboratory and separate it into water, fats, oils, gums, resins, sugars, starches, and amino acids. Some of us didn't even know all that was included in a peanut. We thought in a peanut was a peanut. Then recombine all of these things under my three laws of compatibility, temperature, and pressure. Then you will know why I make the peanut. On January 20th, 1921, George Washington Carver testified before the House Ways and Means Committee on behalf of the United Peanut Association of America. The chairman, Joseph Fordney of Michigan, told him he had 10 minutes. Some things haven't changed, see. An hour and 40 minutes later, the committee told Carver that he could come back whenever he wanted to and take as much time as he needed. Because Carver mesmerized the committee by demonstrating the brilliance, the ingeniousness of the peanut and its uses. Everything from glue to shaving cream, from soap to insecticide and cosmetics, not insecticide in cosmetics. Wood stains, fertilizer, linoleum, and, praise the Lord, Worcestershire sauce. Steak lover's dream there. The next time you have to put on makeup, or the next time you stain your deck, fertilize your garden, or enjoy a good old-fashioned PBJ, remember that all of these things trace back to the prayer of one man who prayed regularly at 4 a.m. And he would say that one God idea is worth 1,000 more good ideas. What questions are you sowing? Those of you who are in college, those of you who are finishing up high school or have life ahead of you, there's a good practice you should ask now. What one question would I like answered in my life? And what would I give myself and my time and my studies and my research to understand in the world that God has made and give your life to it? We need more students of creation. Right, Kirk? Yeah. And you can even go study with Kirk at St. Ambrose and study the human body and ask questions. We are sowing and reaping the fruit of our desires. We are sowing and reaping the fruit of our deeds. We are sowing and reaping the fruit of our questions. What are we sowing? Because that will determine what we reap. We are also sowing and reaping the fruit of our words. And so in the scripture, in Ephesians chapter 4, in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the apostle Paul says to believers, he says to Christ followers, he says to you and I, you must let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for the building up of one in need, that it might give grace to those who hear. The word there, unwholesome, literally pertains to that which is harmful, rotten, or corrupting, that it is caustic, and so it will do harm when spoken. You see it or hear it regularly on the radio. It's a 2012 public service announcement, and it's about what I learned today in school. And it goes like this. Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser. Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic. In history, I learned that I'm trash. In English, I learned that I make people sick. At lunch, I sit alone because I smell. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid, and in math, I learned that I am trash. The only thing that I didn't learn is why no one helps, why no one comes alongside. And each one of us as Christ followers is commissioned by God to be men and women who speak words that are beneficial to others, that build others up in their time of need, that they might know God's favor on their life because of what we say. Our words have the power to build up or to tear down. What are we sowing and reaping because of our words? In view of the eternal, in view of the great need in our culture, whether it's at work or in school, at home, wherever we come in contact with people, we should be speaking words that are building people up. That should be our mindset. But in view of eternity, we also want to speak words that will save, that will bring people to a knowledge of faith in Christ. And so in the Bibles, in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, we have each of the gospel records recording Jesus' parable of the sower and the seed. And we learn in Jesus' explanation of the sower and the seed that the seed is the word of God. That if there is a word that we want to plant in the lives and hearts of our children, if there's a word that we want to plant in the lives and heart of family members and friends or co-workers, it's the word of God. And in Mark 4, we learn that the farmer sows the word, so we're to sow the word. I have been increasingly challenged with the need as pastor to sow the word. Now, I preach on Sunday, but I primarily preach God's word to the convinced, or mostly convinced. There are those among us who are seeking, who desire to know the truth, who we plant. But outside of this hour, in the course of my Monday through Friday, how am I doing at sowing the word? This Easter, we had the blessing of a painting, and David Anderson painted the Dawn of Hope painting. And one of the reprints that's available is a card, a greeting card. And on the back of it, it tells briefly the story of the Dawn of Hope painting. And we've decided to reprice these to make them available 4 cards for $20. That's $5 a card. There are places where you can find a 99-cent card, but not like this. But what God put on my heart last week, or a week or two ago, in regards to the Dawn of Hope card, was that I regularly work with funeral directors throughout the Quad Cities. And I know them on first-name basis, and they know me on a first-name basis. We ride together in their coach to the cemetery and back, and we talk. I learn about their families. They learn about my families. I listen and watch for opportunities to share. What God said to me this week was, take the Dawn of Hope card, and on the inside of it, print, and I have printed a little card-sized insert that shares a summary of the Dawn of Hope message from Easter. So I put that inside the card, And then I've written a personal note to each of the funeral directors by name, saying to them, I deeply appreciate your service to families in our community, because you deal with families in the worst of times. You need to come alongside them in the midst of their pain and in the midst of their grief and serve them, and you serve them well. And then I share with them about the message, the dawn of hope. My challenge to you is to take advantage of the use of these cards as well. There are people, family members, coworkers, neighbors, and friends that could use a word of encouragement, a message of hope from you. And you could write in it and tell them what hope Christ has given you in the midst of the things you have suffered or in the midst of the things you have experienced, and just say that you're praying for them because you want them to know the same hope that you have. And send them a card, and they're available today after service, a pack of four for $20. And by the way, the best thing about the $20 is that it doesn't go to the artist, it doesn't go to the church, it goes to the Tanner Girls Secondary School Scholarship Fund, so that girls in Tanzania, Rangi girls who don't know Christ, will have the opportunity to receive not only an education, but hear the gospel and study the Word of God for 4 years at Tanner Girls School in Pai, Tanzania. Sow and reap. Use words, written and spoken. And finally, you are sowing and reaping the fruit of your prayers. You are sowing and reaping the fruit of your prayers. But we are sowing and reaping the fruit of our desires, the fruit of our deeds, the fruit of our questions, the fruit of our words. But we are also sowing and reaping the fruit of our prayers. Did you know that some things could be planted together? That sometimes sowing this herb with this fruit is a good plan? And so it is with sowing our desires, our deeds, our questions, and words. We should sow them with faithful and faithful prayers. We should sow them with our prayers. Companion sowing. Tomatoes and basil are not only good for tomato sauce or for a margarita pizza, but they're good in the garden together. And so we have here the plants, tomato plants being supported by a cage, and at the base of each tomato plant is a basil plant. And the basil plant repels aphids and spider mites and other critters who like to eat tomato vine. And so it's good to plant them together. Companion sowing. And so this is not the application of this message is not sow basil with your tomatoes. Although that's bonus. The application is that when it comes to planting our desires, the desires of the Spirit, the longings of the heart of God in our life, and our deeds and our questions and our words, that we do it in conjunction with prayer, companion sowing, so that when we reap the fruit of our prayers, we also reap fruit in our desires and our deeds, our questions and our words. Prayer is not making three wishes while rubbing a genie's lamp. Neither is it twisting God's arm and saying, do my will. Prayer is humbly coming before God and saying, I want to know you. In the midst of my life, I want to know the faithfulness of your promises to the need of my heart. Prayer is one way we express our faith to God. We have this promise in Joshua. Joshua says to the elders of Israel, I'm about to go the way of the earth. That means I'm going to die, my body's going to rot, and it'll return to dust. Which, by the way, I got that dead possum out from underneath my sun porch. I apologize, I should have started there because of you, some of you have been going through this whole sermon wondering what the dead thing was under my porch. It was a possum, and it was gross. I thought about taking a picture of it and showing it to you, but I had grace and mercy. Joshua's about to go the way of the possum here. And he says, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises of the Lord your God gave you has failed. He stands at the end of his life and he says, every promise that God has spoken has been fulfilled. Not a one of them has failed. That's why we pray on our knees the promises of God for our problems. In your worship folder last week and again this week, you have a post-it that looks like a shout-out. And last week, as we concluded the message, I said, this week, write your problem in the middle of it, find a promise that you're going to pray over it, and bring it back this week. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I assume some of you forgot. And so you have a blank one in your bulletin. You can do it today. And as we sing the first song following the message, you can go to the back, out and to the back, and then down this side and along this wall. We want to affix our prayer circles, our prayer shout-outs, as a memorial to God that we are praying concerning the things in our life and the people in our life in accordance with the promise of God. Now, some of you are here and saying, I know the problem in my life, but I don't know the promise that I should pray. I would encourage you to take that blank, post it, and just write the problem on it. And put your problem on the memorial prayer wall. And then this week, as members of our church family are in here and praying and they observe your need, let them write a promise on it. And then next week, you can come back and check and see what promises have been prayed concerning your problem. And then you can pray those promises as well for the problem that you have posted. And this is anonymous. It's between you and God, but you're giving the opportunity for your church family to come alongside you and remember your prayer before our Heavenly Father, because He will remember His promise regarding your need. Every promise that He has spoken comes to pass. Not one, Joshua says, has failed. Let's pray. And I want you to take a moment just to confess, as you needed, your failure to plant well. And to ask God, maybe it's a desire that you have, that it conform to God's desire. Maybe it's a deed that you want to perform on behalf of another, a word that you want to speak, a question that you want to raise to Him, that you would plant that in prayer. Even right now, as we pause, let's pray in silent prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, you call us to sow. but so to the Spirit, that we might reap eternal things. To sow, trusting in your promise, that we might know the joy of seeing your faithfulness in our life in answer to our prayers. And so now, Lord, as we post our prayers on this wall, even as we sing, we pray that your ears would be open toward us, that we might know your grace and your mercy in our time of need. Amen.